city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your works shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Tonight I'd like to bring to you a message entitled simply this, If Ye Seek Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what has already been said tonight. Lord, how our goals this year, Father, are to set our affections upon you and seek after you. Father, that it is truly all about the cross. Father, that, Lord, we have many ambitions that we'd like to accomplish in this new year, but yet without you, they would be fruitless. And so, Father, all of these really have pointed us to this idea of serving you with our entire hearts, our entire minds, and our entire souls. And, Father, I pray now, Lord, as we close out this evening's service, Father, that, Lord, perhaps that this message would kind of sum up everything that's already been said. Lord, set us in such a way that we would be pleasing and give honor and glory unto you in this new year. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for who you are. And we ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. As was already said tonight, we have before us a new year. And with a new year, we have a new opportunity. Every day, in case you did not know, is a gift from God. In Acts 17, verse number 28, we find that we live, we move, and we breathe only because of his grace and his mercy upon our lives. And by virtue that you're still sitting here awake after 3 or 4 hours of preaching and lots of good food, God has given you time in this new year and opportunity to sojourn upon this earth. And so we shouldn't take for granted what God has given to us. And I believe that as we look at this passage of Scripture, we find that King Asa is given a commendation from his prophet, God's prophet, Azariah. And God's prophet, Azariah, tells King Asa, he says, the Lord is with you. And as I look at this, I know this is that I want the Lord to be with me in this new year. Particularly verse number 2, where it says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The question is simply this, how did Asa garner this statement from Azariah? How did he get this commendation from Azariah saying that the Lord is with you? After all, as I said, I want the Lord to be with me next year. I want the Lord to be with me and my wife in this next year. I want the Lord to be with Sharon Baptist Church in this next year, with the bus ministry, with the Women's Missionary Fellowship, with the nursing home ministry and the Faithful Hands ministry and the Food for the Mansion Elementary. All of these things, I want the Lord to be with us. We would understand, as it was already stated tonight, that in order for us to have a fruitful year, we have to have the Lord with us. Jesus said himself in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But he closes by saying this, for without me, ye can do nothing. And so our success certainly is only going to be found in the Lord. I was talking to one of the brothers over here the other day, Pastor Dave, and him and I were talking about just doing different things. We were talking about the sign. I was talking about the seat that kind of looks kind of ugly in the bus and how we needed to repair that. And he said, you know, he said, Pastor James, he said, it does not matter if we have the greatest looking church building in all of Hampton, that will not bring the people in. He said, you know, it doesn't matter if we have the nicest sign out front and we're working to get that sign back to where it needs to be. But you know what? If the Lord is not with us, that will make no difference at all. It will not matter if we have the nicest buses in all of Hampton and all of Virginia, if the Lord is not with us. All of these things will end up being worthless, fruitless works of men's hands without the Lord being with us. So I think it's wise for us to look at a story such as this and find a king that was given the commendation from a prophet of the Lord saying that the Lord is with you, and find out how is it that he had the Lord with him, because that is what we need as we go into 2017. So as we think about all these things, we want to think about this idea, what did it take for Asa to have the Lord with him? If you're taking notes, point number one, I'd like to give you is simply this. The times are irrelevant. The times are irrelevant. Look at the passage there in 2 Chronicles 15, verse number 3, and I'll show you what I mean. The Bible says, now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. Basically, if I could sum it up in my own words, I'd simply say this. According to this, there had been a drought of the presence of the Lord among his people for some time. And you and I could very easily look around Hampton, Virginia, and say, "What? You know what? There's been a long time that the Lord's presence has not been felt in the city of Hampton." We could go on and look at the state of Virginia, and we could say, "You know what? There's been a long time that the Lord's presence has not been found in the state of Virginia." We can look at the United States of America and say, you know what? There's been a long time since the Lord's presence has been found in the United States of America. We can look at the world as total and say, wow, the world is headed the wrong direction. And we can say this, that the Lord's presence has not been found in a long time in this world. But my friend, I want you to understand that the times are irrelevant. But there had been a drought of the presence of the Lord during this particular time. Number two, I want you to understand this, the same verse. The Bible says that there had been a long season that they had been without the true God. But notice, secondly, and without a teaching priest. You see, not only had there been a lack of the presence of the Lord among the people, but there had been a lack of the teaching of God's word to the people. And my friend, if you were to go up and down the streets of Hampton, you would find this to be the case, that there are churches on every street corner. There are mega ministries all around us. Pastor and I were just down a street the other day, and I mentioned to him, I said, man, how many storefront ministries do I see here in this street on the way to that trophy shop? And you would think that because of all of these ministries and all of these churches and all these mega ministries that you and I would be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than we have ever been at any time in history. But that is not the case. And why is that not the case? Because there's been a lack of the teaching of God's word. My friend, you don't have to go far to find Christians who have a very cursory knowledge of the scriptures. You don't have to ask very many people about basic stories in God's word that they give you the deer in the headlights look, not knowing what you're talking about. You see, there's been a lack of the teaching of God's word. So we see there's been a lack of the presence of the Lord among the people. There's been a lack of the teaching of God's word. But notice number three. In that same verse, it says this, there had been a long season without the true God, and number two, without a teaching priest, but notice this, and without law. Basically, what that means, without law, is lawless. And my friend, you can mark it down, when there is a lack of the law, there will be lawlessness that follows shortly after. In other words, people will do as what seemeth right in their own eyes. Just as it was in the days of Judges, chapter number 17 to verse 5, so it is today that we have, without the law, people doing as it seemeth right in their own eyes. You see, there had been a drought of the presence of the Lord in the people's lives. There had been a drought of the teaching of God's word. And then lastly, there had been a drought of the actual word infiltrating the hearts and the minds of God's people, the believers. But for all of this, and in this time, Asa still garnered the admonition from the Lord that the Lord was with him. You know what? The times are irrelevant. My friend, you can sit on your stump all day long and throw your hands up in the air and say, you know what? The world is going the wrong direction. This ministry is going the wrong direction. My brother over here is not doing what he should be doing. And you can play that game, but my friend, you can have the Lord with you against everything else that is going on in this world today. Asa saw that exact same thing. I want you to see this difference maker that it made in verse number 4 there. The Bible says this, but when they... Aren't you glad in God's Word it doesn't end with the bad parts? It doesn't end with the worst parts? It doesn't end with the evil parts being the end of the story? We find here a divine, but when they... But when they what? Notice what the verse says. It says, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought them, notice this, he was found of them. My friend, the times were irrelevant because these folks, all they had to do was turn to the Lord. There is a wonderful three-step process that we see here in this one little verse. First of all, they recognize their situation. And might I say this, Christians, as we look at ourselves, oftentimes what gets us in the most trouble is we don't recognize the situation that we're in. We don't recognize our own condition, as Brother Stovall said earlier. We don't recognize where we stand before a holy and righteous and pure God. We think that we're okay, but these individuals understood that they are in a bad way. They understood that they had wandered away from the Lord. They had understood that the punishments and the things that were going on to the children of Israel at this time were because of the fact that they had turned to idolatry and different things such as that. You see, they recognized their condition first. Number two, they turned to the Lord God. They turned to the Lord God. The word here in the Hebrew is shub. And it literally means this, to turn back. It means that they literally had to turn from something and they had to turn to something. You see, it just wasn't, I'm gonna do away with this for a time and that's it. No, they had to turn away from idolatry and turn to the mighty living God. And so they recognized their condition. Number two, they turned to the Lord. And number three, it says there that they sought him. That word there that says that they sought him means to ask or to inquire or to seek out or to beg or to desire or to make inquisition for. It gives the idea of a continuous seeking after, not a one-time event, not a I'm here on a Friday night on December 30th before the new year, and so I'm going to seek after God just tonight. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a continuous seeking after. By the way, in saying that the times are irrelevant, notice in verse number 5, even in the midst of this, the Bible says that in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. My Bible says this, that nations were destroyed and cities were collapsed. Why? Because of God's judicial judgment and chastisement. But God's people, on the other hand, that had sought him and were seeking after him, didn't have to worry about all of those things. You see, they had the protective hand of Almighty God upon them because they had sought after the Lord God. And so we see here that the times really are irrelevant. My friend, it does not matter how wicked the world gets. You and I can say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will seek after the Lord. And my friend, that needs to be the attitude of every Christian that is under the sound of my voice tonight. That it does not matter what goes on outside of these walls. I am going to seek after the Lord. My wife and I are going to seek after the Lord. Sharon Baptist Church is going to seek after the Lord. The bus ministry is going to seek after the Lord. The Pastor Pirate Club is going to seek after the Lord. It does not matter what everybody else is doing. We will seek after the Lord. My friend, before Asa had received this proclamation from the prophet Azariah, there were some precursive steps that he had to take. Asa didn't just wake up and say, you know what? I'm an Israelite, and so I just automatically get God's favor upon me because I'm God's chosen person. Asa didn't decide, you know what? I'm a king in Judah, and so I automatically get God's favor upon me because I'm a Judah king. After all, I am of the lineage of David, and I'm of the lineage of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so I automatically get that favor. No, Asa did not say that. Asa didn't just rely upon the fact that God had covenanted with David and said, you know what, God's favor and blessings are going to come upon me just because God covenanted with King David. No, that was not what happened. There was a step-by-step process that Asa took in order for God to say that I am with you. Well, what is that step-by-step process? Well, number two, I want you to notice this. The treatment is invariable. Invariable. Basically, it has always been the same. It has always been the same. There's no mystery when it comes to God, my friend. There's no mystery to having God say, I am with you. It's not something that God has said in a corner and hidden in some dark sayings that nobody can figure out. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that is the same as He was yesterday, as He is today, and as He'll be tomorrow? As James 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In Hebrews James 1:17, it says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. I thank the Lord we serve a God that doesn't wake up tomorrow and decide to change all the rules on us. Can you imagine if that were the case, that, oh, you had salvation today, but you know what? Tomorrow it's something different. I think you want to, I'm going to have you complete this 10-step process now instead of salvation by faith through grace, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to have you climb to that highest mountain peak and do these crazy things in order to obtain salvation. No, our God is the same yesterday as He is today and as He will be in the future. And so knowing that, we should know this, that the way to approach God is going to be the same every time. And so what is that way? How do we have God say to us, the Lord is with you? Well, let me give you these three precursive steps. First of all, flip your Bibles back one chapter to chapter number 14. I want you to look at verse number 3. This is prior to Azariah the prophet's proclamation about the Lord is with you. But step number one, I want you to see this. The Bible says that Asa, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he break down the images and cut down the groves. My friend, if we're going to have the Lord to be with us, there's going to have to be a removal of idolatry. There has to be a removal of idolatry. You say, Pastor James, I don't have any idolatry in my life. Let me caution you by that statement. Because I can look at my own heart and in my own life and see certain things that I've placed above God at certain times. And by the way, that's exactly what idolatry is. And my Bible says that idolatry of the heart has to go. It has to go out the door. If we're going to have God to say that He is with us, He must occupy the first place in our lives. It's interesting, this stubborn sin of idolatry is one of the devil's tactics to get you and I to remove our eyes from the true God and to rather focus our worship, our lives, and our efforts on something or someone else. And that, in a nutshell, is what idolatry is. And let me caution you, in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 25 through 26, if you were to read through that passage sometime, you'll find that the slippery slope of idolatry leads to the judicial judgment of God upon the life of even a Christian. It will certainly result in a lack of fellowship, I can guarantee you. And so we see, first of all, that there was a removal of idolatry. Secondly, we find this. Now look at verse number 4 in that same chapter. The Bible says this. This is Asa again. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So secondly, if you're taking notes, there was a recommendation of righteousness. A recommendation of righteousness. Normally at this point, a preacher would stand up and say, you need to follow after what God tells you to do. You need to do the law of God. Whatever it is he tells you to do, that's what I want you to do. Well, Asa went beyond that, my friend. That is to be understood. When God says thou shalt, thou shalt. When God says thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's kindergarten Christianity, my friend. What I'm talking about is a recommendation of righteousness. What's a recommendation of righteousness? This is exhorting one another unto good works. Could I clue you in that it should not just be the pastor that's giving people the advice to do what's right in the sight of God? It should not just be the pastor that has to go to someone and say, hey, you know what, brother or sister, you ought to be in church. It should not just be the pastor that should have to go to brother or sister and say, hey, you know what, you should be praying more. It should not just be the pastor that goes to someone and says, hey, you know what, smoking's probably a bad idea. It's a recommendation of righteousness. My friends, we are commanded to exhort one another unto good works. It's not an option. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And in Jude 1:3, the Bible says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. My friend, too often us as brothers and sisters in Christ, we watch each other go by the wayside and we yet not say a word to them. We just watch them go out the door. We watch them get into this. We watch them get into that. Now, I'm not telling you to sit down and have a counseling session with them. If there are some serious counseling things that need to happen, that needs to go to Pastor Dave's door. But when it comes to this, you know what, Bob, I worked hard today, and you know what, I don't know if I'm going to make it to church today because I had such a long day. That brother should stand up and say, you know what, I know you have a hard day, but why don't you come to church with me? I'll help you stay awake. That's what I'm talking about, a recommendation of righteousness. You see, Asa went beyond just having a righteous life himself, but he went to his brothers and he said, look, we're going to walk righteously before God. And so there was a recommendation of righteousness. So we have a removal of idolatry, a recommendation of righteousness. And number three, if you'll look there in verse number 6 and 7, the Bible says, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Let me tell you what's going on here in this passage. The children of Israel had strayed away from their God. They had started worshiping gods like Baal. They had started worshiping other gods like Molech, where they literally had their children pass through the fire. They sacrificed them to idols, and they started marrying outside of the people of the Israelites, and they started worshiping other gods and burning incense and creating high places. And so God, in trying to call his people back, sent prophets. And not only did he send prophets, but he sent trials and tribulations. He sent countries against the children of Israel. He sent wars against the children of Israel. And in the process of this, there were cities that were broken down. There were walls that were destroyed. There were bars that were taken out. There were gates that were fallen down. And now that they had turned to the Lord God, now that they had removed idolatry, now that they had recommended righteousness, the time was to build back that which was fallen. My friend, there's no doubt that this past year there's been things that have fallen down on you this year. There's no doubt in your personal life that certain things that you held dear and true walking with the Lord Jesus Christ have been crumbled down, and those things need to be built back up. There's no doubt within Sharon Baptist Church that there's been some relationships that have been broken down because of maybe your sin or maybe their sin or maybe the sin of somebody else. I don't know. But those things, my friend, have to be restored and rebuilt. There's no doubt that there's been some ministries that have been torn apart by selfishness and by pride and by idolatry and by sinfulness. Those things need to be restored and rebuilt. What happens to a city if the walls are not rebuilt? What happens to a building if the bars are not put on? My friend, this is the result of breaking those vertical or those horizontal relationships of ours and not repairing them. We leave ourselves wide open for the devil to walk right through those doors and tear this church right apart. You see, that's part of the process. Is a rebuilding and a restoration. The question is, what relationships have been hindered? What gossiping has occurred that should not have taken place? What mistakes have been had this past year that need to be rebuilt, restored, made right, vertically, horizontally? We see that the times are irrelevant, the treatment is invariable. But what happens when we get to a place next year when the Lord is with us? Things start going well. Jonathan hit on it. So I made this resolution. I got to this point, and man, 2 days later, how do we maintain it? Point number three, I want you to see this. The task is doable. The task is doable. Turn back, if you will, to chapter 15. Look at verse number 2. I'm trying to go quick. I told Pastor it'd be a Christmas miracle if I get done in 30 minutes. I heard my wife. She's the biggest fan. I love her. I want you to look at this verse, and I'll give you three things to maintain next year. First of all, in verse number 2, at the latter part of the verse, it says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. So step number one, stay with the Lord. In other words, can I give you some advice? Those things that you did last year that were successful, maintain them. Those things that drew you closer to God this past year, and you know what they are, keep doing them. Why would you leave off doing something that drew you closer back to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you stop doing what you know to be right and true to bring you closer to God in this new year? Why would you quit doing that? In other words, stay with the Lord. Keep doing what you're doing that got you there in the first place. I know that sounds pretty simplistic, but oftentimes, that's what happens to us. We stop doing what we know to be right that keeps us with the Lord in the first place. And notice what he said to Asa there. He says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. It's not God that walks away from the deal, my friends. It's us. Number two, seek to grow in the Lord. Seek to grow in the Lord. He goes on to say this, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. It's interesting, the Lord is not hiding from those who are seeking after him. You know, I think about some religions in the world where their God is elusive. He's somewhere out there, but you just can't grasp him. He's kind of vague and nebulous. Our God's not hiding from us. He's looking for those who are seeking after him. And so seek to grow after the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, the Bible says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. That gives the idea, my friend, that it's not a one-time thing. This statement that I've heard so many times, I cannot stand to hear it enter into my ears. I've tried that before. is what I hear from Christians oftentimes. Oh, I tried seeking after God. You don't try seeking after God. You keep seeking after God. The Bible says seek His face continually. And so you must in this new year seek to grow in the Lord. By the way, did you ever consider the fact that God designed you in His image? Did you ever consider the fact that God gave you volition? God gave you the ability to love. God gave you the ability to choose. And why do you think He gave that to you? Because He designed for you to be in a relationship with Him. And so think about it. If you don't have that relationship, you're like the shovel that never gets used to dig. You're the tool that was built that's never used for what it was purposed for. My friend, we are to seek after the Lord, to grow closer to Him, to know our great and mighty God, to know who He is. What does He say? That the whole earth might be filled with His what? With His glory. The big game is this, growing closer to God and knowing Him. That's what it's all about, is to know Him. And so seek to grow in the Lord. Number three, we find in this passage that He says this, but if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And so lastly, let me part with this. Surrender not your walk with the Lord. Surrender not your walk with the Lord. I can be a prophet standing up here. Don't get excited, Pastor. And I can foretell you right now that during this next year, there's going to be times of trouble in your life. I can already tell you that the Bible says, yea, and all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. I can tell you that you are going to have moments of failure in your Christian life in this next year. There's going to be times when you wake up and you don't read this book. There's going to be times when you get up and you fail to pray as much as you should. There's going to be people that God divinely appoints for you to witness to, and you turn your back and go the other way. There's going to be failures. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, because it's going to happen. And here's what the tendency of the Christian is. Oh, I didn't read my Bible yesterday, so what difference does it make if I read it today? That makes a whole lot of sense. Oh, I missed out of church that Sunday, so they won't miss me this next Sunday. Well, that doesn't make any sense either. Oh, man, I'm going through a rough time, and it's just so hard. I don't want to be around people, so I'll just stay away from the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how it goes, does it not? Surrender not your walk with the Lord. When the devil punches you right in the nose and knocks you down, get right back up and say, the Lord rebuke thee. When you fail to read your Bible one day, wake up the next day and say, you know what? Today's a new day. Lord, and with your strength, I'm going to walk with you. Surrender not your walk with the Lord. I wish I could tell you that Asa's story ended great. To some degree, he was successful because the Holy Spirit of God comments that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. But I could tell you this, that Asa's ending could be a lot better than what it was. In chapter 14, he had amazing victory over the Ethiopian army that came up against him. You could read about it when you get some time. They came up in masses, and he had gathered all the troops together and had a vast army with him. But with all of that yet, he got on his knees and he begged God to deliver him from those hordes of people. And guess what God did? He delivered him. And immediately following that, in this chapter, is where we get this admonition from Azariah the prophet that the Lord is with you, because he sought God with all his heart. But we find in the very next chapter that his own kinsmen, the northern tribes in Israel, massed and came up against Judah and the southern tribes. Oftentimes, it's our own that are our worst adversaries, is it not? It shouldn't be that way, but oftentimes it's our own people that are our worst adversaries. And this is exactly what happened to Asa. Instead of this time him seeking after the Lord, instead of him refusing to surrender his walk with God, instead of him staying right with the Lord, how he knew he was supposed to be, he went to a foreign army, the Syrian army, for help. And if you read the story, you'll find out that he had success in turning back the northern tribes. There's no doubt. You can't deny that by what the Word of God says. But I'd submit to you this, that kind of victory was only a temporal victory. And by the way, any victory that you get outside of the help of the Lord, it's not worth it anyways. And what we find later on in that next chapter, in chapter number 16, verse number 5, is at the end of the day, Asa is rebuked by another prophet. While the time before he was commendated that the Lord is with you, he is then rebuked. And so as we close out this time for preaching to prepare us for 2017, I'll just read this last verse to you again. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're not worthy. Father, so many times we fail. Oftentimes, Lord, my Christian life is ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. But Father, as we've seen in this passage of Scripture, it is doable to sustain a close relationship with you, a close fellowship. It's doable, Father, for us to draw close to you and to stay there. Father, that's our desire tonight. Lord, of all the preaching that we've heard tonight about having a proper vision,